Rodney Layfield's brother is Bradley Layfield, who is the principal at Sussex Central, and he is joining me right now. Good morning, Bradley.
Good morning, Dan.
What did you want to say about? Did you want to say something about your brother or on your brother's behalf?
Well, I'll just say this: that obviously, I think in retrospect, it was an unfortunate circumstance that happened. You had some coaches that were up there using profanity. You know, we need to set the effing edge, as they said a few times. They were addressed about the use of profanity. In retrospect, I believe my brother probably just should have let the assistant principal handle it. We have an assistant principal at the top of the bleachers. I'm usually in front of the bleachers looking back at the student section, because sometimes the student section can be the ones that we're trying to keep an eye on. And, you know, ultimately, I think that how this was spun into a racial thing is what's most upsetting. Obviously, it's being investigated because my brother's a state trooper from the state police, so he can't speak. I know that, you know, if he had his way, he'd desperately just like to sit down and talk with the coaches. There were three coaches up there, one white, two African-American. The word boys was thrown out, and there was, I truly believe, no racial intention to that. I can tell you, as a brother of his that was raised by Gary and Cheryl Layfield, there's not an ounce of racism in this family. So it hurts me that my brother's going through it. So I know he can't speak because it's being investigated, and I respect the whole idea of an investigation both ways. I respect the coaches. Believe me, I was a coach. I've gotten myself in trouble years ago when I was in my 20s, cheering overly loud when you're in the home bleachers. I know that was a thing that's been spoken about. And yeah, you can cheer for your team when you're up in the press box on the home side, but it's kind of an unwritten rule. You keep it classy. You don't go overboard with it. And as I said, I'm not here to blame the coaches. It was an unfortunate circumstance, and I'm just here to say that, you know, the Layfield family is a good family. We were raised by good parents, grandparents, close to our community, and it's not a racial thing. It's unfortunate. I think my brother regrets what he did, and I think we can move on from this.
Did you talk to him about speaking on the radio?
I did. I told him I was going to speak, and he basically said that, you know, he hopes that there's an opportunity, hopefully before this investigation ends or after, that he can speak with the coaches.
And the reason, I think, if you could just explain to the audience, the reason he can't speak as the president of the school board, an elected position, is because he also is a state trooper.
Right.
And it's the state trooper part of it that keeps
him. I believe it's the Division of Professional Responsibility. They call it IA, Internal Affairs, that sort of thing, where things are investigated. So, you know, as a brother who loves my brother, I felt the need to come here and say that, yeah, you know, we're all human. We make mistakes. I think it's a mistake. He let his passion get the best of him in this circumstance, and it's happened to me before. It probably has happened to all of us, and it's unfortunate, and I think we need to move on. And I think what's most upsetting is the whole cancel culture part of it, that, you know, one or two words or an unfortunate circumstance, folks are out with their knives looking for a job or looking for his position on the board or whatever the case is.
Yesterday on the show, I spoke to one of the gentlemen, the guy who started this
Coach
post.
Lockhart, yeah, I heard.
Coach Lockhart, and I said, what do you want to have happen? And his answer, I'm paraphrasing, was he'd like to sit down and have a chat with your brother. That was pretty much his.
And I think that's so level headed, and I appreciate Coach Lockhart saying that. I mean, he's not the one out with the knives and saying, you know, we want his job, we want this, we want that. He simply wants to have a conversation, which my brother, I think, truly wants to have that conversation too.
Mr. Lockhart is here, one of the Hodgson coaches, as in the midst of this controversy with our own Indian River School District board president, Rodney Layfield. Mr. Lockhart, hello. Thanks for calling in for a few minutes. I know you're in the middle of something, and I do appreciate your call. I'm going to read I want to read a text message and then get your comment. One of your callers earlier, here's a text, says, one of your callers earlier said, look, a woman that called was entitled to her thoughts and opinions. However, unfortunately, she has no idea why calling a grown black man as a boy is offensive. But others must understand the history of African Americans and what it has always meant to black men for someone to call them a boy. One, it is the ultimate sign of disrespect and is offensive, as offensive than calling them the N-word. For years, black men were summarily dismissed and treated with disregard by calling them boy. Perhaps this woman can be educated and she would understand better. Now, that's just a text from a listener. Is that the way you feel about the word boy?
When I hear boy, or especially to a grown man, I'm grown. I'm nobody's boy. When that's said to me, that's like you're putting me down on a lower level than you. You're saying that I'm not equal to you. I'm lower than you.
Right.
You're a boy to me. And that's the way I took it. To me, that's very disrespectful. People can, you know, everybody has their own opinion on it. And that's even with just taking race out of it. Just saying boy all together to me is extremely disrespectful. Because like I said, I'm a grown man. I'm equal to everybody. I'm not lower than anybody, regardless of your power that you may have.
Perhaps you could clarify a few things. I have like three quick questions for you.
I got to talk.
Yeah, somebody said if you're a coach and you're on the visiting side, you're not allowed to cheer. Is that something you were aware of?
Well, the thing that's completely false, and the other thing people don't know, is I have a son that actually plays on a team, on the varsity team. Hmm. And I actually have a nephew that actually plays on a team also. So, coach or not, you know, at the end of the day, I'm also a parent and an uncle, you know, and a fan of the schools, you know. So, but regardless, coaches are always sitting on the visiting side. That's just the way it always is. I think Sally's may have the only stadium in the state where you kind of get your own side. But for the most part, you're always on the visiting side. And they come to Austin, they can cheer all they want to. You know, we're not going to yell at them or say anything crazy to them. You know, you have that right to, when something goes good, you can cheer. And when something goes good for us, we can cheer. You know, it's not that serious as what it was taken to, in my opinion, on Saturday night.
All right. And then the and we played that audio exchange and talked about it, read your Facebook post in complete detail last Monday, and we've kind of, you know, been following this. The other, two more questions. The other one is, it's been reported that in your group, the three of you, there was a lot of swearing before this incident. Were you aware of the swearing? Were you guys swearing there in public?
No, I'm not aware of that. I wear two headphones. So most of the time I can't even really hear anybody next to me because I have two headphones on me.
Right.
So no, I'm not. That's nothing that I'm aware about.
But the swearing that you say you apologized for happened when? After the exchange started with?
It was after he said. It was after the first boy, I believe. It was after he said what he had said to me.
Yeah.
And I apologized, and I did say you got me effed up. Because what he said, I took it as a threat, you know. When he said, you're not from around these parts, I'm just like, so what does that mean? What happens around these parts that I don't know about? You know what I mean? And that's how I took it. I took it as a threat, and that's just how I did react. I did say one F word, and I did apologize because I felt like I was kind of getting back into a corner about it. Because the assistant principal came up to me about it. One of the guys, an announcer, and it was a kid there. And, you know, I kind of felt bad about that. But like I told them, I said, you know, everybody's saying, you know, I said the F word, but nobody's really addressing him about it. And then that's when I just start putting two and two together. I'm like, this guy must have some type of power down here that nobody's saying anything to him. You know, they're kind of overseeing what he said, and they're just coming straight to me about it.
Interesting. And final question for now, anyway, as far as I know, is what do you want to happen here? What do you think would be an appropriate way for this to end up?
To me, I don't think somebody like that should be a leader around the kids. Because if he's talking to grown men like that, I can imagine some of the stuff he says to kids. You know what I mean? That would be a big concern of mine. I would like to advise, I wouldn't mind sitting down and explaining to him the things he said and how it made me feel, how low it made me feel as a person. And just to say I'm sorry, I mean, I'm not worried about the job or not trying to make you lose your job with the LA State Police. I just want to just be a bring awareness because, you know, all the messages and inbox I've been getting has been nothing but support, but apparently this has been going on too long down there with this guy, and people are really happy that I'm taking a stand. And it's not just me. It's also the other coaches, too. I don't want to seem like it's just about me or anything like that. It's also other coaches involved also that we're taking a stand and standing up to this guy that does have, you know, the power that he has. And it was clear he has some type of power on Saturday night.
One of the coaches from Hodgsonville Tech, who, by the way, just as a to end this on a more fun note, you guys were ahead at the half, but then they came back and got you in the second half. All in all, it seemed like a good game. Daryl Lockhart, thank you, and we'll stay in touch. I welcome your call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.